Psalm 138, verse 7 and verse 8. Praise God. What great testimonies and great expectations. I know that's the title of a book somewhere, but I know it's a reality right here, too. We're expecting, we're anticipating, we're believing, we're claiming all the promises from the Lord. Praise God. Psalm 138, verses 7 and 8. Let's read these verses together out loud. Though I walk in the midst of trouble, thou wilt revive me. Thou shalt stretch forth thine hand against the wrath of mine enemies, and thy right hand shall save me. The Lord will perfect that which concerneth me. Thy mercy, O Lord, endureth forever. Forsake not the works of thine own hands. Praise God. Amen. We're gonna touch probably on every one of those phrases, but the word that I want to focus on here, or the phrase I want to focus on, perfect that which concerneth me. That's probably kind of hard to get on the screen, so we'll just put perfect. Perfect that which concerneth me. That's a big job, Lord, but I know you can do it. Praise God. You may be seated. Now, that word perfect, there's some common phrases that include that word, and they're probably running through your mind right now. Nobody's perfect. That's probably the most common one. Practice makes perfect. And they've added to that, perfect practice makes perfect. Not just practice. And then the one I like is about perfectionists. Perfectionists take great pains and give them to the rest of us. Just keep them to themselves. Praise God. But God's will. Amen. I believe that's what he desires. The Lord will perfect. I'm thankful that we have a desire to see what the Lord's going to do in the new year. And we anticipate, we believe, we trust, and we know God's going to be there for us. But it's his will to bring that perfection to fruition in your life more than you've ever seen, more than you can even dream. Thank God. Being confident of this very thing, Paul wrote in Philippians 1 and 6, being confident of this very thing, he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Praise God. And we look around, there's all kinds of good work, all kinds of beautiful vistas that we could behold in the creation of God. But that good work in you, in me, is what the Lord desires to do in fulfillment of his will. And thank God we can celebrate along the way. Amen. That's what the Lord did. He didn't wait until, you know, the sixth day and then say it was good. No, he said it on the days preceding. He saw that it was good. He took time to admire what he had spoken into existence, and he saw that it was good. Praise God. And I'm sure the angels rejoiced as well as they beheld the creation of what the Lord was performing and what he was doing. Praise God. And oh, thank the Lord, as he is making a new creature out of you. Old things are passing away. Behold, all things are becoming new. Praise God. I'm thankful that we can rejoice as we move along the road, as we advance into a new year, as we anticipate all that God is going to do. We can rejoice. The Lord will. Praise God. And His perfection plan for us is a process. It's daily. It's not in a day. Not something that's accomplished in a 24-hour period or however you want to measure the day. It's daily. Paul talked about being renewed day by day. And thank God that kind of plan is what the Lord puts in place. Though we're in the midst of trouble. Amen. We don't rejoice about trouble. We don't think, oh, good, it's real slippery out. I might have an accident on the way home. And, who knows? I might end up upside down in the ditch. No, we don't rejoice about that. But though like David says here, though I walk in the midst of trouble, in spite of every circumstance, in spite of the difficulties that I face here, and we won't find a perfect situation here. People who are looking for a perfect setting, a perfect set of circumstances, and if only this would work, if only that would fall in. It's never going to happen. You might as well just charge ahead and grab hold of the promises of God and claim them and walk in the midst of trouble and believe that God's going to be there with you and provide His touch and His blessings. Amen. David also made the observation, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. Praise God. And no doubt he could draw from his own experiences and know that the Lord would be there for him. Praise God. Paul said in Acts 14 and 22, through much tribulation we will enter into the kingdom of God. Yes. Now, he wasn't just making a philosophical statement. He wasn't just just talking off the top of his head. He just got done being stoned. you look at the preceding verses there in chapter 14. He'd been left for dead under a pile of rocks. And the disciples gathered around him and prayed. And I believe that he was resurrected. Praise God. And he got up and walked into the city. And then the next day he went on even further into adjoining cities, neighboring cities. And he did that with multiple bruises and cuts, abrasions, lacerations, maybe even broken bones that the Lord probably set right back in place again, the resurrection power of the Lord that brings healing. Praise God. Oh, yeah, he knew what he was talking about. Through much tribulation, we're going to enter into the kingdom of God. But never forget, you're going to enter in. Never lose sight of the goal. Never lose sight of the fact that the Lord has a place for you on that other side, a place that's perfect. Amen. And He's working perfection in our hearts and lives now. Amen. Thank the Lord for the power that we have in God as we walk in the midst of trouble. Now, here's what's so amazing about chapter 14. There was a man who was a cripple, and he'd been raised up. He had never walked from his mother's womb, and he was raised up, and he walked and leaped, the Bible says. Praise God. And then also how Paul rose up and went into the city, walked into the city, walking in the midst of trouble. Praise God. But walking with the Lord. Enoch walked with God and was not, for God took him. Let's keep walking with the Lord, even in the midst of trouble. Praise God. Even though the circumstances may not be exactly like we like, amen, God is there for us. Thou wilt revive me. Revival is God's will. Trouble and enemies abound, but the grace of God does much more abound. Praise God. And the Lord is above all. I love Isaiah 57:15. For thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy. I dwell in the high and holy place with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones. Imagine that. The one who is far above all, the one who inhabits eternity, he's not limited by time. He was limited by time as a baby. And then into just prior to the day of Pentecost when he ascended up on high. Amen. Time limited him to a certain degree at that point, but now he inhabits eternity. Praise God. And he says, I'm going to dwell with the humble and the contrite. I'm going to revive the humble and the contrite. Praise God. That includes all of us. Amen. Amen. Thank God. I need him. I need him. His hands are mentioned three times in the passage that we just read from Psalm 138. Three times, his hands, thine hand against my enemies. Praise God. I'm thankful that we have him on our side, or we're on his side, however you want to view it. Amen. Thank God that his enemies are also that those that are going to be defeated in our circumstances, in our situations. Oh, I love to read about how the Lord is going to use our feet to stamp on the devil, amen, and trump on the devil. Thank God that we know the power of the Lord and his hand being against my enemies. And I've got to make sure, I've got to be very careful. James wrote about being a friend of the world and being an enemy of God. I got to make sure I'm being very careful there. Amen. And Sister Glover warned about the devices. It's very easy to cross that line on the devices aspect. Got to be very, very careful. Not a friend of the world and an enemy of God. No, a friend of God and an enemy of the world. Amen. Praise God, because I'm going to be victorious. His right hand saves me. The power of that right hand. Praise God. So great salvation by the power that he wants to reveal by his right hand. The works of thine own hands is the third reference to hands, a personal touch that the Lord made in giving life to Adam, forming him out of the dust of the earth. And thank God there's a personal touch that he has in your life as he continues to make you a new creature. I love Isaiah 64 and 8. But now, O Lord, thou art our Father. We are the clay, and thou art a potter. And then the phrase, we all are the work of thy hand. Praise God. I want his hands to continue to touch me. I want his hands to continue to work in me, removing the impurities that don't need to be there, shaping me, forming me, molding me the way I need to be. Praise God. Oh, yes, we are the clay. He's the potter. We got to make sure that's the arrangement and not try to be the potter and complain about how he's making us, how he's shaping us, how things are turning out. Oh, Lord, we're the work of your hand. Amen. And thank God his power is there. His mercy endures forever. How emphatic that statement is made in Psalm 136. 26 times it's repeated. His mercy endureth forever. Praise God. It's of his mercies that we are not consumed. Every morning there's new compassions. Every morning when we wake up, and that will continue into 2019. Every morning, praise God, if it's all 365 of them, every morning we have new compassions that are not going to fail. Hallelujah. And the power of the Lord will be there for us. And he will forsake us not. You know, never leaving nor forsaking is found three times as the Lord's statement. Deuteronomy 31:8. We won't take time to look at each one. Joshua 1 and 5. Hebrews 13 and 5. I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Praise God. Said it to Moses, to Joshua, and to you and I. Oh, he understands the feelings of being forsaken. He knows what that feels like. On the cross, he cried out, why hast thou forsaken me? He's touched with the feelings of our infirmities. He knows what we go through. He understands completely, even better than we understand where we are ourselves. And thank God he's able to minister, not just commiserate, not just have empathy, sympathy, however you want to describe it. He's there to make a difference. He's there to give change. He's there to provide strength. Praise God. David would declare, I was young, but now I'm old. The passage of time had gone by. He had flipped the calendar many times. The years just peeled off. I was young, but now I'm old. and I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. Praise God. The next generation can be impacted by the blessing of the Lord. The next generation can be included in the power that God wants to reveal. Oh, thank God. The Lord declared, I am with you always. Matthew ended his gospel with that statement, I am with you always, even unto the end of the age, end of the world. He started that way when he talked about Emmanuel, God with us. Thank God that we have today the Lord with us, the Lord for us, the Lord in us, the power of God to minister in our lives. And he will perfect that which concerneth me. It's a process. Perfection is a process. God rejoiced in the process of creation. Creation is incomplete. He saw that it was good. And David was bringing back the ark. And how many steps did he take? Six. He was a long ways from the tabernacle yet. He was maybe not even within seeing distance. Took six steps and rejoiced. And danced before the Lord with all his might. Can't stop praising his name. Praise God. Rejoicing. Oh, yes, thank God we can rejoice in the process. Rejoice in what he is able to do and how he's able to bring it about. Praise God. Hebrews 2 and 10 says he's the captain of our salvation. And he was made perfect through suffering. Huh. That sounds pretty negative. That's not... I don't want suffering. Don't want suffering. Isaiah 53, great suffering depicted as the Lord would fulfill that prophecy. Amen. 1 Peter 3 and 18, Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust. What for? Just to have a Good Friday story, just so that we could understand about Easter and have something to talk about then, something to preach about then? No, that verse goes on to say that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit. Thank God that is duplicated in our experience as well. We die in the flesh, to the flesh in repentance. We're buried in baptism. We rise to walk in newness of life through the power of the Holy Ghost. The Lord will perfect that which concerneth me. Amen. And James again makes the observation, let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Praise God. The only trouble is we know what brings patience. Tribulation. Tribulation brings patience. Verse 5, James 1 and 4 is the part about patience having her perfect work. Verse 5 is the trying of our faith works patience, or somewhere in there, the trying of our faith works patience. And so, let patience have her perfect work? Sometimes that gets hard. Sometimes that gets very trying. But look at what Peter, look what he said in 1 Peter 5 and 10. His perspective now includes some pretty drastic ups and downs. Sometimes that he would open his mouth and he probably slapped himself in the face and try. I wish I hadn't said that. Peter just blurted it out. Praise God. Thank the Lord. He blurted out Acts 2:38. Amen. It is a very very quick answer to those who ask, "What shall we do?" And it was right on target. Praise God. And the Lord directing him and guiding him. But 1 Peter 5 and 10, the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus. Oh, that sounds all good. The God of all grace, his eternal glory by Christ Jesus. Praise God. That's where we're going. After you have suffered a while. I don't like that part. Not looking forward to that part. But see, what's happening is perfection is being worked in your life. Amen. Several of you testified about how it was just, you know, kind of humdrum in your walk with God, kind of lackadaisical, kind of just in neutral and gliding along. That sometimes is what suffering does, is to move you, to wake you up, and bring you to a place where you have a hunger in your heart for more from God and what he desires. Because look how it goes on here. After you have suffered a while, he'll make you perfect. Establish, strengthen, settle you. Praise God. I like the phrases from the Living Bible that change it around just a little bit. The Living Bible says he'll pick you up, set you firmly in place, and make you stronger than ever. Praise God. The suffering is not going to pull you down. The Lord's going to lift you up. He's going to put you in place. He's going to make you stronger than ever. Praise God. Perfection. And the Lord will perfect that which concerneth me. Thank the Lord for the confidence that we can have like David. He celebrated victory over all his enemies, even King Saul. Psalm 18 and 32. It is God that girdeth me with strength and maketh my way perfect. Praise God. See, he's rejoicing now after having gone through these battles, after being chased all over the countryside by King Saul, who should have been on his side, who should have been the one to congratulate him, coronate him, and cause all to bow before him and say, "Hail the King of Israel." Instead, he's throwing spears at him. But David said, God girded me with strength, and he makes my way perfect. Thank God for all of the benefits that the Lord has for us, the mercy, the forgiveness, all of our flaws, all of our faults, all of our failures, he forgives. Praise God, and he gives me strength. Verse 5, or rather verse 3 from Psalm 138, the chapter that we read from, verse 3, in the day when I cried, thou answerest me and strengthenest me with strength in my soul. Praise God. The Lord gives strength to wait for the answer. Strength to keep walking towards perfection. Strength to be able to reach out to somebody else. Acts 18 has got some beautiful stories in it and wonderful verses. And it talks about Apollos who had the way of God in his life, instructed in the way of the Lord, and eloquent in the scriptures, mightily convincing those that Jesus is the Christ. He knew the baptism of John. He had a definite experience. But Aquila and Priscilla called him aside, and they expounded unto him the way of God more perfectly. That's what God wants you to do. That's why he's working perfection in your life. That's why he's helping you along. That's why he uses circumstances and trouble and enemies and all of these different things that are perhaps a bit uncomfortable in our experiences, but he's bringing his strength. He's not forsaking his work. He's continuing on with his power, and he's helping you to understand and become settled and strong so that you can help somebody else and teach them the way of God more perfectly. Hallelujah. Oh, I'm thankful for that power of the Lord. I'm almost done. Perfection is God's will. Jesus said, be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. Ooh, that's a tall order. But we can't do it on our own. It's the Lord that perfects us. Hebrews 13 and 21. Make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Praise God. Now, that powerful statement is based on verse 20. Verse 20 from Hebrews 13. The God of peace, the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ, that great shepherd of the sheep, and through the blood of the everlasting covenant, the price that he paid, the investment that he made, not something that he just snapped his fingers and said, this is what I want. I'm the God of the universe. I'm the Almighty. I'm going to make it this way. And the devil has nothing to say about it. Could have done it that way, but he did it this way so that we would know. He suffered for us. He shed his blood for us. He gave his name for salvation. He poured out his spirit for power. And he helps us walk to perfection. Praise God. Stand with me, please. Because of that investment, because of that willingness to give, because of love that was so great, amen, you and I are on that road to perfection. Praise God, and we're heading to a perfect place. Amen. Indeed. Indeed, those who have gone on before, no tears, because God himself wiped them away. No sorrow, no crying, no pain, no death. Praise God. Oh, what a perfect place. Amen. Let's keep going. Thank God. Let's raise our hands to the Lord. Just ask him to help us keep going. Keep going, Lord. Help us to keep going. Oh, Jesus, until we see you. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah.